Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I am your host, Paul Mitters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue. You know it. It's the place to be. I'm here in the Letterman's Jacket Room, off to the right-hand side. Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. It's a beautiful day out there, man. You know, it's the year of our Lord, 2023, June 3rd already, so we've hit the month of June. Wrapping up high school sports, wrapping up all the great things that happened in this calendar school year. I have one more show after this. This is, I mean, it's been a phenomenal school year, bringing you guys, you know, all the great interviews that we're able to do here at 1430 ESPN, student athletes, recapping scores, previewing games, broadcasting games. We're able to broadcast 17 high school football games this year, a couple back-to-back Thursday, Friday games. We're definitely the sports leader here in the Fresno, Clovis area and beyond, right? All the way to Chowchilla, down to Bakersfield. I know the signal is really strong. People are able to listen online to our broadcasts and our shows. Gabe Camarillo, Home Field Advantage, does a phenomenal job. Jose Gonzalez in the morning. We love talking about high school sports. But for me, I got one more show. I'm going to take it a couple months off and coming back to you strong in August. And believe it or not, football is going to be here before you know it. You know, the airwaves and sports talk radio. Talking about NFL already, a little bit about college football. And high school football is ramping up. I mean, summer workouts, summer practices, and heck, I remember this last year, the Clovis Unified, I believe it was Buchanan, played their first football game, maybe it was last year, played their first football game before classes were even in session. That's pretty wild to think about. But anyways, it's been a pleasure for this calendar school year to talk about all the great high school athletics that go on here in the Central Valley, and today's going to be no different. For the next 2 hours, we're going to be chatting with a variety of coaches and players. Really, really excited about this show. There's only one school that's still alive, and that's Bakersfield Christian. They are playing in the Division III SoCal Championship game today at 4 o'clock. It's the only thing still alive right now. Last week we had our baseball championships. I'm going to go over the scores really quick. Softball championships, state track and field, obviously. Just tons of stuff in this last 2 or 3 weeks to discuss. But coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with a real special athlete, Clovis High, Sydney Vanek. Well, this girl is a standout volleyball player, and last week she just completed the back-to-back long jump championship. She's the nation leader. Jumps well over 20 feet. 20 feet, 7.5 inches was, I believe, her jump at the state meet. She's coming on the show. We're going to be talking with her via phone call. I mean, incredible athlete. Really looking forward to getting to know her. At the bottom of this hour, Mitch Mulligan. He's the Central baseball coach. He's going to be helping me wrap up the baseball season. And he's a baseball guy through and through. One of the things I really appreciate about Coach Mulligan is whenever I send a text or a phone call, that guy, he responds promptly, and I really appreciate that about him. Had a few questions throughout the season, and there's Mitch. And he was able to watch from firsthand, obviously, the Division I, II, and IV champs, because they were in his tournament. We're talking about Centennial. We're going to talk about their wild game against Buchanan. Bakersfield Christian, as I mentioned, and Liberty Madera, they were all in his tournament. So he was able to watch them firsthand. So I want to get an idea of what he saw in those teams, what a championship caliber squad looks like. So that will be Mitch Mulligan coming up around 10:30 or so. The top of hour number two, I mentioned high school football. We're going to be talking with Clovis coach Aaron Wilkins. Coach Wilkins just completed his first year at the helm at Clovis High School. And, when you talk to Coach Wilkins, you're going to learn something, and you're going to see passion and attention to detail. And I mean, he just blew me away. When I went and watched his first practice, I'm like, all right, let's see what this guy's about. But he blew me away by his structure, the way he treated the kids, his staff, everybody was on point. And this guy's going next level with nutrition, with taking care of your bodies. Clovis High is going to be on the up and up in the next few years. And really looking forward to talk to Coach Wilkins. What exactly does the landscape of high school football look like during the summer? You know, in August, they really ramp it up. And again, you know, I mentioned the high school football season. The games are going to be here before you know it. The bottom of our number two, Madera High, longtime softball coach, Judy Schaubach is coming on. And standout senior Brianna Hamilton. They had a remarkable season. They won the Division II championship. They beat Frontier at Margie Wright Diamond 4-2. Coach was the 2016 Cal High Sports Softball Coach of the Year. She's been coaching there since the late 80s. She played at Fresno State. I mean, her name is revered and respected up and down the Central Valley. You talk to any longtime coach, and they're just going to have nothing but great things to talk about Coach Schaubach. And I'm really looking forward to talking to her. They're all coming here to First String Sports. It's always a lot of fun when you get to see these coaches and players face-to-face. So really looking forward. This is going to be a standout show. Standout show. I want to thank our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Today it's going to be a high of 93. Right now, what are we sitting at? 73 degrees? 93, yeah, it's hot but not too hot. Just wait till the triple digits hit. And, you know, like I mentioned, Sydney Van Eck of Clovis High, I want her to come on the show. She's going to be on the road, so we're going to do a phone call. And then next week she has her grad party. And tis the season for graduations. This is the hustle and bustle part of the season, especially for those that have a senior. And I have one. My middle daughter, Alex, is graduating from Bullard High on Wednesday. We're having our grad party. Actually starts at 11. So after the show, I'm going to skedaddle home and fellowship with people and celebrate my daughter. And we took on a big task. Our backyard looks pretty darn good right now, but it certainly wasn't easy. We tore down a deck. The demolition part is always fun, right? We had a deck that leads to our swimming pool. Some of the boards were rotten out. We're like, what are we going to do? We're going to replace the board. I don't know. It's going to look shabby. Then we got to maybe paint it and whatever. We're like, no, let's just demo it. We had a friend come over. And so, we had to finish what we started. So, again, the demo part's easy, but, man, tearing that thing down, it had that AstroTurf. Our house was built in the 70s, so it had that AstroTurf. Man, and I felt like the glue that they use, it was like Gorilla Glue or something. So I had to rip that AstroTurf off by hand, and then I had to rent a couple tools to get that glue off. That was a pain. Let's just put it that way. But the backyard's in good shape. It's all for my daughter, right? All for the kids. Just kind of like this show. So today is, we're celebrating our seniors for the next few weeks. All right, I want to mention the scores in case you guys weren't able to catch all the scores of our softball and baseball championships. But City County Baseball is upon us tomorrow. Chuck Chancey, 6:30. Make sure you guys check that out. City County Baseball is always a fun time. Softball is going to be June 21st at Margie Wright Diamond. And then football, the big one, McLean Stadium, June 16th. And the social media team for City County Football has done a fantastic job over the last couple of weeks. They've been tweeting out individual pictures of the players, highlighting them, tagging their school. So that's really, really cool to see. The pictures are great. Whoever's running the account's doing a fantastic job. City County Football, June 16th at McLean Stadium. All right, I'm going to run down the baseball games. We got a couple minutes before we hit the break and bring on Sydney. In Division One, I mean, you guys all know by now, number 9 Centennial, the Road Warriors, defeated Buchanan 4-3 at Valley Strong Ball Park, a game that I was privy to watch. Home run, top of the seventh, broke the hearts of Buchanan. Buchanan was one out, one strike basically, away from winning their eighth Division One Central Section baseball title. A couple runners were on. A kid by the name of Tristan Watson hit a three-run homer. Now, I was on the side of the dugout filming it while this was going on, and, man, you could – obviously, Centennial celebrating, but you could just – the air out of the stadium was taken out on the Buchanan side. Just got to feel for the Bears on that one. We've got to celebrate Centennial. They made an incredible run. We're talking with Mitch Mulligan at the bottom of the hour about that game. Bakersfield Christian, we mentioned they're playing today in the SoCal final. It's not a state championship. It's a SoCal final. It's not a true state champion in baseball. They defeated Cabrillo 8-3. Kingsbury defeated Dos Palos 7-5. Kingsbury had a really good season. Liberty Madera, Coach Derek Kuhn, talk about a program on the rise. Liberty Madera has a really strong baseball program going on. Coach Kuhn is doing a phenomenal job. They defeated Emmanuel 9-5, a game that Gabe Camarillo and I were able to broadcast on 1430 ESPN. Fireball in Division 5 defeated East 4-1. And Woodlake, the 8 seed, shut out Orange Cove 7-0. And softball, Central defeated Buller 4-2 for the Division 1 Central Section title. Coach Scott Sharton did an incredible job this season. We're going to try to get him on next week with one of his players, but congrats to the Grizzlies for defeating a very good Buller squad. In Division 2, we're going to be talking with Coach Schaubach. Number 4, Madera defeated number 10, Frontier, 4-2, another 4-2 score. In Division 3, Fowler defeated Reedley 2-1. Reedley, incredible run as the 15 seed. Orange Cove, they have a phenomenal program right now. Don't discount Orange Cove. They have done it right. They've worked with the feeder programs, got travel ball together, and now they're reaping the benefits of that. They defeated Mission Prep 4-0. Congrats to Orange Cove. Dos Palos, Boron 2 seed defeated Dos Palos 6-1, and in Division 6, number 4 South defeated Orquette Academy 10-0. All right, that is a wrap up of the baseball and softball scores. When we come up, or coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Sydney Vanek from Clovis High on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for tuning in. Really, really appreciate you guys throughout the entire season supporting me, checking in on Facebook. We broadcast it live on Facebook, Twitter comments. A lot of fun highlighting these teams up and down the Central Section and the wonderful student athletes that we have. And I have one here on air with us via phone call, Sydney Vanek. She is a standout athlete at Clovis High, played volleyball, head of the University of Arizona, absolute volleyball stud, and she is the back-to-back state champion in long jump. Sydney, I hear you're on the road right now. Are you in the car or out of the car? What's going on over there?
Yeah, we pulled over. I'm outside of the car right now.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, It's probably a lot better if you pulled over instead of being in the car. But who's driving? Are you hanging out with Mom?
My mom's driving me.
All right, sounds good. Okay. So this is one of the most important questions that are going to be asked today. Who is in charge of the playlist, the music, while you guys are driving, you or Mom?
Well, I'd say probably Mom. Mom gets mad when me and my sister touch the radio, so we just try not to mess with her little mojo she got going on.
Well, that's smart, right? That's kind of our rule as a family. Whoever's driving, they're the ones doing most of the work, so they're the ones that get to choose the music.
Yeah, definitely.
So what is her choice of music? Is she into 80s or current type music?
Yeah, more 80s, whatever's going on the radio, or she likes to plug in her phone and have her playlist going.
All right, good choice. All right, now that you are at, Sydney, the end of your high school career, you got graduation, I believe, next week for Clovis High. Yeah, does the last 4 years just seem like a blur to you?
Yeah, to be honest, it didn't really feel very long just because of COVID. We had a really short year, like my first like real full year of high school that I got, and happened to be the last year. But, I mean, yeah, I'd say it's all kind of a blur now that I'm here, done with high school.
So I want to ask you about COVID. You know, a lot of our student athletes had to grind through that time. Was it – you know, how were you able to occupy your time? Was it, you know, were you feel like you were confined? Were you able to work out as much as possible? Just describe, you know, especially your class going through those moments. What was that like for you?
I'd say it was definitely different than what we did before, like in the gym for volleyball. Like we had to be like obviously 6 feet apart, sanitizing the balls after everything. So it was like hard to get normal playing time in, but I definitely went on a lot of bike rides. me and my sister, we like to ride our bikes up to Sonic. We did that like almost every day. Or I just like to hang out with friends. I hung out with my friends a lot over COVID. I mean, I guess kind of like a 3 month, 6 month long break. So I just hung out with my friends, stuff like that. But I still made sure I was working out and doing the proper things I should be to be ready for when I came back and everything would go back to normal.
Well, you certainly were ready, and your back-to-back long jump titles were an impressive feat. And this year, is it true you you beat the second-place jumper by more than 4 inches? Is that true?
Yes, it is true.
So when you go in, when you're the favorite all season and you have an incredible season and you're setting PRs and, you know, everybody knows who you are when you walk onto the field, do you feel extra pressure, especially at the state meet, right? Did you feel extra pressure knowing that you were the top dog all season and everybody was gunning for you? Or did you just go out there and just, do your jumps?
I mean, I felt a little bit of pressure going into state and stuff. I felt like there was some weight on my shoulders to win it again. I mean, I know nobody was expecting that out of me or anything like that. But I think going in, I kind of just like knew I had to do what I had to do. And I think going in, I had high hopes for myself and those hopes ended up turning out good. But I mean, I'd say there's a little pressure, but not too much. I have good hopes for myself.
And when did you set the mark that was that won you the state title? Which jump was it for you?
It was my first jump in the third round. So it was our finals. So it was when there was 9 jumpers left. And then I was, it was my first jump of finals.
Talking with Sydney Vanek, the state champion back-to-back in long jump. I want to ask you, Sydney, you know, when you're, you know, pumping up the crowd, especially in those big meets at Veterans Memorial Stadium, I know you went to Arcadia as well and University of Oregon. When you're in those big meets, when exactly do you know you're going to bust out a good jump? Is it your mental preparation? Is it your takeoff? Is it your plant? When do you know that you really were in the zone and going to have a good jump?
I mean, I honestly think it kind of starts with my day. Usually if I'm having a good morning, I'm having a good day. I'm listening to a lot of music. Music definitely puts me in a good mental state to be able to perform good. I think just knowing I'll have a good day and all the things looking forward to the meet and just how my warm-up is and all that kind of determines what kind of jumping day I'm going to end up having.
Have you struggled with injuries, or have you been pretty much injury-free throughout your high school career?
I struggled my junior season. I think I was going off, just finished my basketball season, came out. I think it was beginning of March I came out. I'm not quite sure, but I suffered a foot injury. It was just overdoing it on my foot, really bad tendonitis, bursitis. I was out for 6 weeks, and no jumping, no running, nothing, no sports at all. So then that kind of set me back in my junior season. But that was about it so far, I think.
So, but you came back that junior season to win the long jump, right?
I did, yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So just explain to everybody out there just what it feels like when you realize that you are the best in the state. What, just describe the is it jubilation? Is it pure satisfaction? What goes through your mind when you win state?
I mean, it's honestly just like really a gratitude. Like, I'm just so happy I was able to win state again. It's a really good feeling knowing I'm walking around 2-time state champ. But I mean, I don't feel, I'm very humble. I don't think like, I don't really think of myself as a state champ. I'm just Sydney Vanek.
That's awesome. You ever tried triple jump?
Yeah, I tried it like once in my 7th grade year, and it just kind of hurt my shins and my knees. So then I just never stuck with that.
So that was it. You were one and done with triple jump.
Yeah.
When did you start long jumping? I know Clovis Unified is huge in track and field, and I think they just had their big Clovis Unified track and field with the elementary. But when did you first start long jumping?
I started long jumping in about 3rd or 4th grade.
Did it go well for you? Was it hard? Was it like did you not understand what you were doing at all?
No, it was always probably one of the more fun events. I mean, you don't have to worry about running, stressing, getting out of the blocks, all that mental preparation. It was just kind of just fun, just getting run, jump in a sand pit, how I thought of it when I was younger. But, yeah, it was just always fun to me, my fun event.
And then volleyball, your volleyball standout. What What is the main difference between volleyball? Obviously, volleyball is a team sport, and then track and field.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. Volleyball is a team sport. I mean, I get to be with my best friends. I get to hang out with them. I get to practice with them, all that kind of stuff. When it comes to track, more of like an individual sport. I'm like all kind of in it with just me and my coach. Like these last couple weeks of Valleys and all Masters and all that, it was just like me and my coach out there training. So it's more of just an individual thing, just focusing on myself and not like having to worry about like my teammates around me. Because I mean, for volleyball, it's like we all got to be doing good to be doing good. Track is just like I got to be doing good personally to be doing good. If that makes sense.
Well, yeah, absolutely. What's a bigger rush? Like jumping over 20 feet in front of a huge crowd or a monster kill in a high intense volleyball game?
I don't know. That's a close. I'd say probably volleyball. Volleyball's a bigger rush, getting a good kill going on. I mean, track's crazy. You just hear the crowd going wild. That's great too. But I mean, I'd say probably volleyball on that one.
What is there a certain play that you remember from the last couple of years in volleyball that has been your favorite play? Maybe there you got set, you know, a perfect set came your way and you just had a monster match. I mean, is there a specific play that stands out?
Yeah, I got a couple. I mean, probably a couple from junior season. I got a couple memories of hitting some people in the head or in the face. I got a couple of significant memories going on for volleyball that I'll just always remember.
So you ultimately chose the University of Arizona to continue your education. What's the plan? Are you going to try to do both? Are you just going to stick to volleyball? What's the plan?
Yeah, I think I'm going to end up trying to do both. I'm pretty sure I'm going to do both. I actually just texted both coaches today, Bobby Carter of Arizona for track, and then Rita Stubbs for volleyball. And I think I'm going to end up doing both there.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Can't wait. All right. So we got a couple more questions here, Sydney. What's the rest of the summer look like for you?
Rest of summer? I mean, I got this baby shower right now. I got graduation next week. And then just, like, lots of training, lots of volleyball this summer. And then I leave July 4th to head out to Tucson to start my summer volleyball over at U of A.
What was the date again? July what?
July 4th. We're
July
4th. Over there. We're going to make it. Yes.
I thought I heard that right.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Oh, we got one more question here. What is the best way to summarize your entire high school career? What Clovis High has meant to you, what your teammates and your coaches have meant to you? What's the best way to summarize everything for Sydney?
I don't know. I mean, I'd say probably just like nothing but joy. I mean, I've had nothing but joy getting to play for Clovis High and getting to play for like my club team and just my coaches and all that they've taught me in the 4 years of being there and all that they could teach me with COVID and stuff. And then now I'm in a great position heading off on a full ride to U of A. So I'd say that they set me up for success, what I needed to know moving on in life. And there's just nothing but joy I have for that.
That is awesome. That is a perfect answer. And congratulations on your success so far, your incredible accomplishments. I was sorry that you weren't able to come in here live to First String Sports. I wanted to get you on. Yeah, next week you got your own grad party, and then you're on the road today. But very happy to catch up on you, and you deserve everything that you have going your way, and good luck in the future.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That was Sydney Vanek, head of University of Arizona, one of the best athletes of all time at Clovis High. Coming up after the break, we'll be talking baseball. Coach Mitch Mulligan of Central High on 1430 ESPN. You could go back, if you missed any part of the show, you could go back to 1430 ESPN Fresno, go under podcast, download, any of our podcasts. Central Valley Sports Report is there. You can listen to all the back episodes, Home Field Advantage, Gabe Camarillo, Jose Gonzalez Show, Tony Diodato Show, Bulldog Hour. It's all right there on 1430ESPN.com. We're going to take a small break. We're going to have to call Coach Mulligan. So Gabe Camarillo back at home base producing the show. Gabe, can you call Coach Mulligan? We're going to get him on. So take a small break, get him on here on 1430 ESPN. Talk about high school baseball and much, much more on 1430 ESPN. Oh, actually, just got the text from Gabe. Look at that. Nothing like live radio, right? All right, Coach Mulligan, he is on right now. Hey, got to love it. Got to love this time of the year. Hey. So, yeah. This is what it's all about, right? We're both teachers, we're educators, right? And so the middle names are flexibility. Yeah, flexibility. Yeah. That's our middle names. We got to be flexible. But yeah, Coach, this is wrap up time. This is the end of the year, and you know the days can be long, but the years are always short. But it's rare though for you to have a Saturday, right? That you're not out of town hanging out with the kids and you know taking advantage of all that fun stuff. So what do you guys got going on right now? The rest of the day.
That's 100%. Paul, this is one of the first times we don't have, like, we're not rushing to Buchanan Babe Ruth Association game for my son or a travel soccer game for my daughter. We got a couple grad parties coming up. I know you do as well. This is kind of like the end of the year where the days have been long, but then also you're still preparing for summer baseball and what's on the horizon. So you're kind of, you shut things down a little bit and enjoy the time you get with the family, but then also you're still grinding and planning for the summer and what we have coming in. So that's kind of like what this time of the season is. And I know talking with a few of the other coaches around, it's really nonstop. You know, you take the free Saturdays and Sundays when you can get them, but you know there's not going to be too many more of them. So,
well, do you guys have a go-to vacation? Because my growing up was Santa Cruz, and I did that tradition with my girls. You know, Santa Cruz is our go-to place. Nothing like walking on the boardwalk, checking out the arcade, with all the little hot spots and the places to take a drive. Do you guys have a go-to vacation or place?
You know, that's funny, Paul. We, like, as I was growing up as a kid, we always did Santa Cruz too with my family. We stayed at the Terrace Court there. Right on the beach by the pier and the boardwalk. So I grew up doing all that. We actually have a family trip planned in July to go to Hawaii, Maui. And so that's kind of what's keeping us juiced as we grind through these long days of school and work.
Yeah, Hawaii. Yeah, Santa Cruz, Hawaii. I mean, Santa Cruz is awesome. Love Santa Cruz, but you're going next level. You're dropping the Hawaii on us, so that's awesome.
We saved that one up, yeah.
I did, really quick, before we get into some baseball stuff, I did hear from a little birdie that that you've been called Coach Morgan. Is that true? What's the story behind that? I think
you must be talking to Coach Biggs. Or Coach Gordon, one of the two.
It's one of those two. I don't want to say who, but, yeah, I got a 50-50 shot on those dudes.
Yeah, I got a special student who called Coach Morgan every single day. So that is pretty funny.
Does he know your real name?
She I don't know if she does or not. I don't know if she can say it or not. But it comes out Morgan, so we just roll with it, you know.
Well, you mentioned summer and what that looks like for your baseball program. I'm going to be talking with Coach Aaron Wilkins, the football coach at Clovis, and we'll be chatting about that. But what specifically does the quote-unquote off-season look like for Central Baseball?
You know what? It's really changed over the years, Paul, because like pre-travel ball, pre-pandemic, we were playing probably about 16 to 18 games in the summer. And then when the pandemic hit and all the explosion of travel ball, it's hard to get a certain amount of players to commit. Cause you know, we're going to Arizona, we're going to Florida, we're going to Georgia. So it's basically, hey, when are you available to play? And then try to get our incoming guys, you know, in the weight room on the practice field and just trying to get aware of what our numbers are going to look like. So, like, for this summer, we're not playing as many games, but we are going to be working out Monday through Thursday in the morning with our group. And then I know I have some guys who, again, are playing North Cal or going down to Arizona. And so we have about 6 or 7 games along with the Buchanan Elite, which is at the end of June 23rd to the 25th, which is always a pretty good tournament that Buchanan puts on. But again, it's changed over the years because of how many guys are available, how many guys are going to play on their travel ball tournaments. And so that's kind of where it's evolved.
I do want to ask you about travel ball. That's kind of a hot topic. It's between baseball coaches. Actually, if you think about basketball as well, travel teams, AAU, and then you get your guys, maybe they picked up some bad habits and they're running a different system and dads or moms are saying, well, it's about reps. It's about keeping them involved. Right, and it's, you know, there's lots of pros and cons to it. But what the state of where baseball is, what is your opinion about travel ball? The teams that maybe you're not involved with, you know, they're coming to Central. You kind of don't know what the kids are going to look like when they come back to play for you. But, what is your overall opinion and the pros and cons of travel ball?
Well, the one thing about travel ball and what it's created, it's created a I'd say more of a toxic environment in terms of, I like these kids who are on my travel ball team who are at a different school, and I don't really like my school, so let's transfer. So that it's created a definite like increase in the amount of transfers, and it's also, you know, who are you playing and what kind of success you're having. You're paying to play, so of course the coaches are going to love you and give you, you know, great positive input. And then when it comes down to high school baseball, and well, I don't want to say we're, you know, like we come at it with an unbiased approach because we're trying to win as many games as possible, and your son might not be playing, and it's turn our fault when, and that's kind of like the environment that it's really created. Like if you're playing, everybody's happy, and if you're not, then no one's happy, and we look to transfer, or, you know, it's the coach's fault. So it's travel ball has put the high school coach in a no-win position. Sure, it's great to get your results, especially if you didn't play a lot during the high school season, and to continue to grow. So that is, you know, one route that can help you get better. But in terms of, you know, talking with other high school coaches, it's definitely put a lot more on our plate that we have to deal with in terms of the negative component, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, do you really think that kids are getting better when they're playing in those types of environments?
Well, that's the thing too. Like they're playing, but where you make your biggest gains in development is through the practice. And if these teams aren't practicing on a consistent basis and they're just showing up to a park to play three games on a weekend, I guess it helps getting some live at bats and reps, but you're not putting in the repetition and the amount of work to, you know, take 150 ground balls at practice or 200 swings off a coach or in the cages and get some instant feedback on that, you know, from that output. So is the juice worth the squeeze? I don't think so, but again, you know, that's just my outlook on it in terms of what travel ball has done.
Talking with Central High baseball coach Mitch Mulligan. And, yeah, this is a hot topic that's probably spent about 45 minutes on a podcast doing, you know, talking about this subject. But,
you can break it all down with that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of times the bottom line with this, it's a moneymaker for a lot of people. And, you know, we could go into even hitting lessons and those types of things. It's, you know, it's definitely brought a different side of baseball, especially over the last 5 to 10 years. You know, we're not too far removed from, hey, play a couple games in the summer with your guys. And then, you know, when baseball ramps up, you're supporting your team. You're proud of the squad you play for. It's become a different animal. But I do want to ask you too, Coach, just about this year in general. We saw Centennial, the 9 seed, and the incredible run that they had. I don't know if I've seen a team beat those quality teams. So they beat Madera, they beat Bullard, they beat Redwood, and they beat Buchanan. And all, you know, those first games were on the road, and then at Valley Strong Ballpark in Visalia. What are the coaches saying about that? When a team gets hot, a team can get hot, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, first off, congrats to Coach Danny Durham. He's a great guy. We had the chance to play him this year down at their place. And it was one of those, you know, we both talked, like, it was one of those games where none of us have been able to practice and because with all the rain and stuff during the Central Classic. And, you know, we showed up, and it was the first time that I think we had been down there since 2011 when they knocked us out of the section semis. And so we went down there and we jumped out on them. I think we were up by five or six runs and, you know, fourth, fifth inning coasting. And then all of a sudden, you know, pitching walks, this and that, and they woke up and they ended up coming back and beating us. I think it was like 11-9 or 11-8, something like that. But we left there and I was like, oh, they're a decent team and they'll be okay. But then I saw as the year went on that they got hot towards the end and they finished tied for second in their league, which is a very good league with Stockdale and Liberty and all the Frontiers down there. And when they, they beat Madera, and they played Madera close in our tournament as well. I think Madera beat them in our tournament by one or two runs. So that game could have gone any way, any other way. But to beat, Bullard, who had been rolling, and then Bochco and Redwood, and then, Buchanan with two outs and a seven, I mean, that's just crazy. Hats off to them. That's the fun part about baseball is that when you get hot, things can happen quickly.
Yeah, and when teams are hot like that, you just think about baseball is a little bit different than basketball and football. Basketball and football, you're running on emotions, and you play a little more fired up. You can get physical. Let's just say that you can get physical, but baseball is a different game. There's no real physical part as like attacking the other team, but it's a different it's a different atmosphere. It's a different way you can get back in games. But I think like that. A team like Centennial, when they're rolling, when a team beats a Bullard or beats a Redwood, like you don't take them lightly, obviously. So when teams get rolling, it's you just got the mojo. Things just seem to work out. You get a walk here, hit by pitch here, and then a 3-run home run. It's just one of those magical teams.
That's what's great. Yeah, you don't have to think too far back, but the 2008 Fresno State Bulldogs, the underdogs, Who gave them a shot to win it at first, and then they just got on. They got hot. They had a team belief, and that we're all bought in on one another, and they rode it all the way out. And that was kind of what Centennial did as well.
So with Centennial winning D1, Bakersfield Christian winning D2, we know last year with Stockdale winning D1. There's a lot of talk, Frontier beating Buchanan last year as the 8 beat the 1. A lot of talk going around about, hey, is the Bakersfield schools, have they totally caught up with the Fresno / Clovis schools? Is that the case?
They have. Yeah, they have. I'm not going to sugarcoat. I know our league is one of the best things around the track, and it's so hard to win. And the fact that we're the only conference that plays three games, a week in terms of three games a week format. These baseball schools, they're no joke, man. I think they probably have taken it personal over the last, so many years where it's been all about, Clovis, Bullards, this and that. And I don't want to say it's a chip. I just think they got a lot of good coaches down there with a lot of good players. And we've seen it firsthand, this year with the Central Classic, and they've all said they want to be back in. They like playing the tough competition and the different types of baseball. And like I said, there's each conference, and I'd say even section, kind of has like their own personal brand of baseball. The Bakersfield schools play differently than how the track schools play. And then the track schools play differently than how the coast teams play. And so that's what's kind of been nice in our preseason tournament, is trying to see as many different types of baseball that are out there. So that when you come down to a playoff format and win or go home, you kind of have a little bit, information or knowledge on who you're playing. And that's like with us this year playing Cabrillo, and we hardly knew anything about them. But we would scatter and try to get some info from, a coast school down there who you might have a relationship with to try to prepare a game plan to win a game. Because, Cabrillo hasn't been our section for so long. So that's what kind of makes it tough, but it also makes it fun because you're playing just different types of baseball than what you're used to in the past couple of years or even the past season.
Chatting with Central Baseball Coach Mitch Mulligan. I want to go back to what you said. You said the Bakersfield schools play different than the track schools. Can you give some specific examples what that might look like?
I think so. For one, they don't play the small ball game as much. It's not a ton of, drags, hit and runs. It's a lot. I'd say more of like, it's almost like a kind of a football mentality. It's physical. It's like, we're here, we're looking to get the head out, to go gap to gap. We're going to challenge you. Our pitchers are going to challenge you. They're not scared. They're going to execute their game plan. And it's just like that's the biggest thing I can compare it to. It's more of like mentality where we're going to get after you. We're not going to feel sorry about it. And if you beat us, you beat us. And if not, you know, we're going to beat you. That's just kind of like the small sample size that I've seen the last couple years, and then seeing being able to play Liberty and Centennial, and seeing Stockdale this year, and also seeing Bakersfield Christian. Is they're proud of their baseball and what they've done, and they're going to show up and beat you physically. That's kind of the way I can compare it to.
So now that we're at this point with Bakersfield schools winning the last two D1 titles, do you think that are the programs in the track and Clovis Unified, are they going to have to change their game at all, or is it like, all right, we're holding firm to our style of baseball, we just got to get better?
Yeah, and that's essentially what it is. Here's the other thing too, Paul. You're not going to sugarcoat the amount of good players that have come out of Bakersfield the last couple of years. You know, the Cutter Coffees, the Charles, the Inyart. I mean, there's a lot of good players down there, like top D1 talent level. Where, you know, if we break it down in our, you know, in our area, it's not, I don't want to say it's not as much, but it's fewer than some of the elite talent that they've had up there. But it's all cyclical. It comes and goes. And there's a lot of good track schools who have been young, and they're going to be more, you know, older and experienced the next couple of years. But I say, you know, definitely catch our attention and know what's on the horizon, that there are some really good baseball teams down there who we could meet up with in the playoffs.
We've got a couple more minutes here with Coach Mulligan. All right, I want you to summarize Central's baseball season, right? You had some ups and you had some downs. You guys won that playoff game at Ridgeview. You mentioned Cabrillo, but what's the best way to summarize Central baseball this season?
I'd say frustrating, and that's, you know, not to be negative, but we had goals that we had set for us, and we didn't meet them. And so that's the part where you go back and you reflect on as a staff of what we could have done better and what we could have done more. And the answers were more of this and more of that. And we didn't execute our goals and what we wanted to accomplish. So I'd say frustrating, but it's something that the guys who are coming back and are coming up through the JV program, like, they know. We've talked about it. We've talked about the summer and what we want to do to get better as a team so that it doesn't happen again next year. And that's, you know, that's, like you said, we had a decent start to the year. Track play wasn't too kind of us. We had some, you know, some good wins against a Clovis High and Clovis West. And then a good series win over Clovis East. And we were kind of like, all right, well, here we go. You know, we were kind of in a situation last year trying to make a run, and we beat a good Ridgeview team. And, you know, that, I'll be honest, that Cabrillo team, they beat us fair and square. I mean, they were a really good team who we didn't know a ton about. And by the end of the game, they definitely left an impression in us that they hit the ball all over the place, and they deserved to win. So it's something to build on with the guys that we have coming back and the expectations that they've already set for themselves. And we just got to do better.
Talking with Coach Mulligan. We got a couple minutes here, Coach. All right, so what, during practice, you mentioned practice and getting after it. What do you enjoy more? Are you a fungo guy? Do you throw BP? What do you bring to practices in that regard?
Definitely a fungo guy. Fungo guy. I take care of my nice fungo that I'm very proud of and like to take care of her. But, I have no problem hitting thousands of fungos on a daily basis. I love the weight room grind of guys making their gains and working with Coach Frontier, strength coach, to set our workouts up and to see the gains they get when we max out, and the progress that they make from August to really when we kind of end our maxing out around January, early February before the season ramps up. I really like that process. The whole process, like I said, it's, baseball doesn't start, you know, in January and February. We're, you know, we go fall ball August to about Thanksgiving, a little bit of time off during Thanksgiving, and then we start back up in December, and then we gear up to, you know, and once we gear up for the season, we're going until this time of year, May, take a nice little weekend off, and then we go on with the summer ball until the end of June. So it's definitely a it's a process, and definitely like we were talking about, you enjoy the breaks and the trips that you can take with the family to kind of get away from baseball a little bit, because you do, as coaches, need to get away and share the time with your family that you know, goes through the grind with you as well, through the ups and the downs. The family feels the wins and losses just as much as we do. So it's good to, when we do get the time with them, to just kind of shut it off and make some memories.
Absolutely. Well, it's all about balance, and it's you know, we're at the end of the school year here, and we're going to do it all over again next year. But Coach Mulligan, have fun in Hawaii. My gosh, I'm jealous. I'm excited for you. You definitely deserve it. But thanks for all your support over this last year as well. And you have a great summer. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Hey, one little shout out. We can't all be champions like Coach Gordon. Just got a text about a little ago. We can all be legends and champions like him, you know.
Well, Coach Gordon, hopefully we're going to be having him on the show next week. But thanks again for everything that you do for Central and baseball in general. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you, bud.
You bet. All right, coming up after the break, it's football. Never too early to talk about football. Coach Aaron Wilkins, Clovis High, is in the house here at First String Sports. Take a break, come back and talk to him on 1430 ESPN.
Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Happy Saturday. This is hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here live at First String Sports. Got Coach Aaron Wilkins, Clovis Cougars, coming in. Well, this is still year one. You haven't had graduation, right?
Nope.
When's graduation for Clovis High? Just had Sydney on.
It's this Thursday.
Okay, Thursday. Cougars went 5-7 last year. The foundation was set. You also coached Josh Allen. We're definitely going to get into a couple of Josh Allen stuff. Whenever we get together, I got to get my Josh Allen fix with you. So graduation next Thursday. You know, we're just talking a little bit off air about some of the adjustments that high school football is going through, and the adjustments you have to make coming from the college ranks. But after, you know, just kind of thinking about the school year and football and getting back in the valley and all that, like, what kind of grade would you give yourself for the entire year?
Yeah, that I would say, from a cultural standpoint, A+. You know, you have to come in and establish a new culture, and that's always tough. Just kind of working and grinding through that. But from a standpoint of just football in general, you know, 5-7, you would look at that and say, okay, that's an unsuccessful season. But I think if you knew where we started, right, from Long Beach Poly to where we got to in the playoffs, where we ended up winning the first home playoff game in a while, and then, you know, to taking Clovis West to right there, you know, I mean, we're 3 points off in that game. I felt really good after that game, and I said, okay, we are so young, and we have got a super young, talented quarterback and a super young core. We're going to be really, really good. So I feel very confident, very confident.
What about the season moving forward? So thinking about next year, there's a dead period. I think you guys are going through that right now. But what does the summer, because summer's going to go by super quick. You know, you got that first game against Garcia, it's August 17th, I believe.
Yep.
So that's going to be up super quick. But what does football look like for Clovis High right now through up until that first game?
Yeah, so we'll finish our dead period. And it's going to be funny because we're going to go from a dead period to straight to Fresno State on Saturday, June 10th. So that'll be interesting. But that's more, you know, I look at that as more exposure for the kids, right, as opposed to I could care less if we win the 7-on-7 tournament and all that stuff. You know, we'll get our young quarterback out there. And we've got some other prospects that they're interested in that they want to have come up. And then we'll just start getting into what we call our summer combine. We'll just be lifting, running, doing a lot of sprint work. And then we'll get into some football stuff. Every Wednesday, we're going to have kind of like a, I guess you would call it a 7-on-7 deal, but it's more situational football than trying to set up points and find who wins. It's more third down, we have this. Backed up, we have this. We'll work on our 2-point plays. We'll work on our red zone offense. So we'll make it really situational based. That way we get quality out of it, as opposed to, you know, got 4 downs to score for the 20. That's not real football. So we'll try to coach and teach real football through that. And then, you know, I only go Monday through Thursday in the summers. I'd like to give the kids 3-day weekends off, coaches as well. Part of being a good football coach is retaining good coaches. So, you know, if you grind them Monday through Saturday, it's probably not going to last very long. And then we'll take 2 weeks off, the first 2 weeks of July off, and then I start something that I call our little mini camp, where we're just prepping, teaching the kids how to practice what we want in practice before we start actual fall camp, the last week of July, which is early in high school. You know, coming from college, you never started until August 1st. That was the first time that you could actually pick up a ball. But, you know, everything's pushed up and all that, and I get that. So that's just what we're doing. And, you know, summer will be a grind, but it'll be good for the boys.
And you guys are doing your blue-white scrimmage. Is that what you call
yes,
it?
Yes, blue-gold.
Blue-gold scrimmage. What's the date on that?
Yeah, so I'm just going to go weeks, because that's how I operate. So first week we'll have our scrimmage. That's the first week of July. And then the second week, or the first week of August, will be our blue-gold. And that'll be on that Friday. So the first Friday in August will be blue gold, and then we'll go Merced scrimmage that following Friday into the next Thursday, which will be Garces. So here we go. It's here. Football's here.
Yeah, absolutely. I went to a few of your practices last year, and you know, you were kind enough to invite me into your coach's room. I don't know what to call the classroom right there. You call it the coach's room and chat with you guys. And thank you guys for doing that. I really appreciate that. But you introduced some next level stuff. I'm talking about nutrition, weight training. What are some examples of what you've introduced to the program?
Yeah, so, you know, coming from, well, so I'm so lucky, because coming from the Division I level, you realize it's all investment in kids, right? So, you know, you think about a workout, and you have a workout. Well, the problem with a workout is the workout is nothing if you don't have fuel, right? And so I don't rely on parents or kids to understand that to the fullest extent, and some parents know more than others, if that makes sense. And some parents financially can provide more than other kids could, right? A kid from Clovis North, or, you know, Buchanan, probably a little bit more so than a kid from Clovis High. And so what we decided to do is implement our own nutrition program. So we give them fuel, protein, you know, that stuff they have to take at their own will. Obviously, we can't make them do it, but we just give them the resources to do it. Hydration is big, so, you know, Our strength coach does a great job. We weigh them in and weigh them out every day, you know, and if they lose X amount of pounds, we don't let them practice, because, again, you know, that's part of, me personally, in 120 degree weather, I don't want a kid who's 8 pounds light going out there and having a heat stroke on me, right? That's something that we don't want to do. And then, you know, the weight program has been awesome. I brought our assistant strength coach from Liberty with me here. He's a guy that trained under one of the best in the business two of the best in the business. And our kids have made insurmountable gains in terms of strength, you know, but, you know, and we talk about this a lot. It doesn't really matter if you can move weight. It matters if you can move weight fast, explosive, and you can be agile. So that's kind of what we're going to get into. We've gotten really strong. You know, if we have a 600 pound squatter, we have, you know, six guys in the 1,000+ pound club already. So we've done our work in terms of getting kids bigger, stronger. Now we're just going to make sure they can move, because it means nothing if you can't move or you wear down in the fourth quarter.
Talking with Clovis football coach Aaron Wilkins, I know you're not a moral victory guy, right? And it's, you know, we produce. We want results. Coming from the college ranks, right? Obviously, there's no moral victories with college ranks either. How has that adjustment been for you with that type of mentality?
Sure.
Then instilling that in, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 year olds.
Yeah, well, I think part of the biggest thing you have to teach those kids is that, you know, everybody's invested, and albeit, you know, again, in college, like, you understand as a coach that you either produce or you get fired. It just is what it is, and that's what that rank will always be. But is that not life, right? If we don't go and show up and do our job consistently, are we really going to keep our job very long? Right, and I talk to kids all the time. You want to strive for excellence. Because the reality is that if you, no matter where you're at, you could start as a janitor somewhere, and if you just do your job to the best of your ability and you strive to be excellent in that, you're going to work your way up. You know, you're going to work your way up in anywhere and any time. So I think it's more life lessons. And you know, high school, we can kind of get away from that. I'm not a big, everybody gets a trophy, right? At the end of the day, the only stat that matters is a win and a loss. And that's how I'm going to be evaluated on, and that's how you guys are going to be evaluated on. And we tell them every day is, you know, every day is a chance to build your resume. And, you know, we don't, from my star quarterback to our star linebacker, like if those kids don't come out to practice and produce and show out, yeah, they're not going to play for us on Friday nights. And the best part about that, though, is that all those kids that are actually going to play at the next level be like, this is no adjustment for me. Like, my high school coach put me through this. So they should be put in a position to have success at the next level.
Let's talk about next year's team. You mentioned a few guys, star linebacker, star quarterback. Go ahead and mention those guys by name and, you know, what they bring to the table and some other guys you're looking forward to coaching this.
Yeah, so one of the most talented kids that I've had a chance to coach, and I've had a couple, especially at the quarterback position, Deegan Rose, he'll kind of highlight he just highlights our program, you know, in terms of who he is as a person, how hard he works. And then at the end of the day, you know, he's probably one of the more talented quarterbacks that's going to come through here in a long, 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 long time. He last year in the track threw for over 2,000 yards and almost 30 touchdowns as a freshman, right? And that's kind of wow, right? I mean, he's not playing at a smaller school. He's playing at Clovis High in the track, and he's producing those kinds of numbers. And, you know, he already has an offer from Utah, an offer from Pitt. He's already doing his whole college thing, and it happens a lot earlier than I'd like it to, but that's the nature of the business. My job is keep him humble now and just keep coaching next-level stuff. I mean, he is in terms of how he sees things, he is a next-level mind, and that's a lot of fun to be around because it makes my job really easy. Noah Luganville is another kid that, you know, he broke our all-time tackles record at Clovis High.
And they're like over 150. It's just like an insane amount of tackles.
He's a different caliber player. What I like that Noah's done is, you know, last year he was ended the year at 164. He's almost 190 pounds now, and he can still move the way he does. You know, he's just instinctually things that you can't coach and teach where, you know, I hate to say this, but C-ball, get ball mentality that Noah has that other kids just don't have. And he's got a kind of a killer mindset. He's going to be one of the top linebackers in the Valley, and you know he's getting looks from Division I schools. And you know, I've expressed to Noah, you're a Division I linebacker, but you just happen to be in a corner's body. You know, at 164 pounds, it's kind of tough, but he's put in so much work because I think he embraced that and he understood that I have to build my body into what linebackers are. Because nowadays, you look at the linebackers, even at Fresno State, I mean, those guys are whatever they are, 6'3", 220 pounds, can move and fly. But I really, really like the way that kid's progressing. He's going to be – he's special. He's a special player.
And his dad played at Fresno State, same type of body, but it worked out for him.
Dad did. Dad did. And that's always a nice connection, right? Yeah. You have dad and son. And, you know, my hope and prayer is that dream is accomplished for him. But, you know, nowadays with the transfer portal and all that stuff, and I express this to kids, it's hard. It's almost impossible to get one. But, you know, all you need is one shot, right? And that's – hopefully he'll get his. The other one I'm really excited about is Brendan Nauheimer. He played in for us last year, but now he's 270 pounds, so he's going to move inside and play a really, really twitchy nose guard, three technique, interior guy, and he's awesome. You know, we express at Clovis High what's best for the team. I moved him to O-line. He played tight end last year. I moved him to O-line. He didn't say boo about it. He said, whatever's best for team coach, I want to do to help us win a championship. And so he'll be really good to kind of give us that solid O-line that we're looking for, but he's also going to be an absolute impossible block for anybody up front. And the other guy that like came out of nowhere, right? Jacob Saldate, he had never caught a touchdown pass prior to last year. You know, he caught 8. He had almost 1,000 yards receiving. Coach Jackson, our track coach, fantastic at what he does. He's a 10-6-6, 100-meter guy now. Last year, he's like 11-1 guy. Jacob can fly. There's not a guy that in the Valley that can run with that kid. And there's one in Frontier, and he's a 10-5-something kid, junior coming back. Jacob's one of the fastest juniors returning here in the Valley. So we're lucky. Part of it is how hard the kids have worked. Part of it is that I rely on other coaches to help develop kids like track coaches, baseball coaches, et cetera. But we are improving really fast. I'm really excited for that.
Freshman class, I heard, pretty good.
They're good.
So next year, sophomores. So yeah. you're going to have a bunch of kids, throw them out there. Hey, let's see what you can do. Is that the plan for this?
Oh, 100%. Best player plays. So if it's a sophomore and he's equal to, and I tell the kids, because this was our mindset in college, that if you are a freshman, you're equal to a senior, we're playing the freshman. And that's just the mentality we're going to have. You know, if these sophomores that come up, Maddox Merrill's one that has already flashed and caught our eye. That kid, he did a great job as a freshman on the baseball diamond this year. And, you know, he came out this spring, and it's like, yeah, that kid's playing varsity football, and he's going to be a weapon that we're going to use. And so, you know,
kind of kid you can move along
everywhere.
The field.
I mean, he played back for us as a freshman last year, but, I mean, for crying out loud, you know, we put him at what we call our W, it's just our slot, and he was making just plays that, you know, I mean, a little Wes Welker stuff, you know. And so he's got tons of tools and a lot of stuff that we're going to be able to utilize. And there's more of them, but, you know, we need good evaluations on them. But those are the kids that just pop in my head that are going to be, you know, anchor us in those positions.
Does that – I hate to bring this up again, but you've mentioned it. Does that Long Beach Poly game, does that seem like a long time ago? Does that seem like in the past – I mean, it wasn't – if you think about it, it's less than a year ago, right? But does that seem like it was in the past, man? It was a little bit of a measuring stick. It happened, but boom, it's out here. I mean, what's your mentality?
Yeah, well, I told the kids after this, look, we know how far we have to go now, right? And so it does seem like a long time ago, but I think it lit a fire under all of us, right? Like if that's the measuring stick, which is not the measuring stick in California, right? But if that's the measuring stick for us, right, to be one of the top public schools in the state of California, we got a long way to go. But I think our kids, instead of kind of shying away from that and saying, well, we're not very good in this, they just have committed to, we got to work as hard as we can to get where we need to go. You know, and obviously the talent pool is a little bit different in Los Angeles than it is in the Valley, but we've had a history, a rich history of being a good, well-coached, disciplined program that can upset anyone at any time.
So you mentioned, too, you play Clovis High. Or sorry, you play Clovis West, 27-0 in the track. You guys got shut out. A couple weeks later, here you go, playoffs. All right, we don't have anything to lose, 24-21. Was that a big momentum swing for you guys? We know how talented Clovis West was last year, and they're going to have dudes all over the field again this year. Was that a momentum game for you guys? Obviously, no moral victories, but you're like, hey, guys, we are really, really close. At the end of year one, that's how close we were to beating an undefeated team.
For sure, yeah. So we talked about, and you said it, and this has been our motto, tired of being close, right? It wasn't just West. It was North by 3. You know, Central by 6. I mean, there's just so many of those games with the young team we had last year where, like you said, we're so close. And I think our kids are tired of being close. And, you know, the best part about that West game, though, was that they saw we made a lot of coaching adjustments. We made a lot of personnel adjustments. And we put ourselves in position, to be honest with you, where at the end of that game, and I told the kids going in the game, we're going to win this game. They all believed it. And I remember telling the kids, I did not think we were going to lose that game, guys. And, you know, that sometimes things swing this way. Sometimes momentum swings this way. But just remember the feeling. Look over there, watch them celebrate, and just remember that this is not going to happen next year. And I think that's our kids' mindset. And, again, you know, Clovis West is going to be tough to beat. So is Clovis North, so is Central, so yeah. So is Clovis East. And, you know, to be honest with you, that Clovis East team, we saw them in our showcase, and it's like, holy smokes, they got talent everywhere too. Yeah. And they got a great young quarterback. So the track is just going to be as balanced and as competitive as it's ever been, just like it was last year. It's any person's game. And luckily we saw that last year, right? There's not one just dominant team that's just like, oh my goodness, they're just gonna run this thing for the next 3 years. So any given Friday night.
Absolutely, any given Friday night. Coach, I want to ask you about, you talk to Coach Mulligan, Central High baseball coach, the difference between baseball and the track and baseball in Bakersfield right now. There's some difference. And do you see that with football? With, you know, you've been around the game a long time, you've been around the country, involved in football at different levels, but what is the difference between football and the track, let's say, and football around the state?
Yeah, so golly, you know, this is a layered question. I'm gonna try to answer it as best as I can. I think there's the elite elite in Southern California, right? Which, to be honest with you, not one person in the country is going to touch those guys, and that's modern day in St. John Bosco, right? You know, we played a Long Beach Poly team that made it to that Open. They happened to lose to I forgot who it was, but they lost by 3 to that team who got beat 50-0 by modern day, right? So you're like, holy smokes, right? That's just next level.
Was it that team with Malachi?
Yeah, LaSalle. So LaSalle ended up just getting demolished by modern day, right? So I think that in terms of like level of football, they're on a whole different spectrum than any team in California can even get to. Because I'm gonna be honest, I can't take a bunch of vans and drive them all over, you know, the valley and get kids to come to my school. That's just illegal, and we can't do that. But I think in the Central Valley, if you really look at it. And you look at what West was able to do against Turlock, the same Turlock team that was able to beat the De La Salle team, right? I think that you're like, okay, right? The Central Valley has got, in my opinion, the second best, really, in one of some of the best public high school football in the state of California. I think that, you know, what Liberty's done is fantastic. I think Coach has done such a great job down there where, you know, I think that there's a 1 and 1A. Liberty being the one and everybody else kind of being the 1A. And then I think here in the track, it's just like any man's game. Like, and you can see it. And, you know, Memorial did a great job last year. They had probably one of the more talented kids I've seen in a long time playing back for them, and they kind of rode that horse. But they still, you know, at the end of the day, it's still tough to beat that Liberty football team. It'll, in my humble opinion, I think it'll all balance out here. And, you know, I think you'll see a track team be a Valley champion for the first time in whatever it is.
2013. Now.
Right, 13, and I think in Clovis Unified it may even be longer than that, you know. So I think it'll balance itself out here pretty soon. But that's the levels of football I see in the state of California.
Yeah, that's what I meant. 2013 for Clovis Unified, obviously Central with their incredible run, the state championship. We've got a couple minutes here, Coach. All right, so I want to talk about Josh Allen just a second, but talk about the D1. You talk about the difference between, you know, the modern day St. John Bosco to the teams in the Central Valley and whatnot. How about at the college level? You've seen dudes. You've seen Auburn up close. You know, you've seen the big SEC teams up close. What's the difference between that style of football and just, you know, just a regular, pretty good, decent D1 team? I mean, what's the difference between those programs, those dudes, and
sure, yeah, well, you know, golly, when you play an SEC team, so I've been a part of playing two separate ones, Vanderbilt when I was at NIU, and then, you know, when we were at Liberty, we played Auburn. And the difference even just within the SEC of the top tier to, you know, the lower tier is just like astronomical, right? You know, we competed against Vanderbilt. To be honest with you, we had a history of and teams have a history of beating those low-end SEC teams. But, you know, our first play against Auburn, there was a 6'6", 260-pound, five-star DN, and our quarterback, who's fantastic, throws a little outcut to our draft pick at receiver, and this 6'6 guy, like, leaped it, had to be like 40 inches, picked it off, ran it back for a touchdown. And we're thinking to ourselves, like, holy smokes. And they also happen to have an Olympic sprinter that ran a 9.8 100-meter dash, and we're trying to cover him. I mean, the level of recruitment that you can do at those big-time SEC schools is just so much different, right? I mean, that's why you see Georgia and Alabama, and that just will always be that way. They got the resources. And in the United States of America, as I've traveled, I think that I love California football. I think in L.A., those are some of the best players in the country. But you go to the South and you start talking about recruiting Georgia and Alabama and Florida, those are some dudes, like some like bona fide, like athletic freaks of nature that, you know, it's just tough to come by. And like I said, unless you're in, you know, modern day where they kind of get to pick and choose them. But, you know, yeah, they've got the ability to recruit the cream of the crop.
Josh Allen. All right. You got a Josh Allen story that you can walk us through. I know you coached him at Fireball, Reedley College as well, but what do you got on Josh?
Well, I mean, I always think like the underdog stories, right? I think of Josh as just the underdog. So I always like to tell this one. This one's one of my favorite ones. So one of my good friends, Ernie Rodriguez, he was our OC at Reedley College, Josh's quarterback coach, and you know, we had a young man, Kevin Steele, who was the starting quarterback at that time when Josh came in as a freshman. And, you know, Josh played in the city-county game at that point in time. He did not play well at all. And I remember the Reedy College guys looking at me like, this is going to be our guy? And it's like, just kind of settle in. Like, that's just been the kind of Josh Allen progression, right? So Josh actually had to sit the first four games of his junior college career and sit behind and kind of watch a guy he knew he was better than run the offense because Ernie wanted him to run it a certain way. And typical Josh, doesn't panic, doesn't transfer, right? Dad's not that type of person where they're just like, we're out of here, we're going to go transfer to another school. He sits and bides his time. Well, that kid goes down. I think it was his first game against Merced. That sucker took over. He threw for 560 yards and almost rushed for 200 in a game and 8 touchdowns, right? And I think after that, like, it was, you're looking at Ernie and the offensive staff like, yeah, I mean, obviously he's the guy, he's been the guy the whole time, right? And it's funny because I remember coaching him in high school and I don't remember him like jumping over guys and doing all this ridiculous stuff. And then you watch against what he did against Fresno City and you're just watching this young man who's now, when I coach him, he's maybe 6 foot, 150 pounds soaking wet, who's 6'4", 220 pounds, can run like the wind, and now he's jumping over defenders, and it's like, wow. You know, it just shows you, it depends on where you bloom. And you know, they have a saying in the Allen family, you know, kind of bloom where you're planted. And I think that has served that young man. And that's just a story for everyone. Any young man that's listening, any parent that's listening, bloom where you're planted. Like, don't give up on the process. Even if you're the two, kind of use that as fuel to get better. And then when you get your opportunity, like, that's on you. You know, try and show out and so that they leave no doubt, right? Josh left no doubt. Like, yeah, you should have been playing me the whole time, guys. You know, he made us look like bad coaches on that day, but great coaches after that, right?
And now you got the stories to prove it. So, Coach Wilkins, thank you. It's always a treat to talk to you. And, yeah, thanks for coming into First String Sports. Never too early to talk about football and always enjoy our conversations. Have a great summer.
Appreciate
and, yeah, once things wrap around and back up in August, we'll be sure to connect. And I'm sure we're going to be broadcasting a few of your games.
Absolutely.
So can't wait for Cougar football.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. And go Cougs.
All right. Aaron Wilkins, head coach of Clovis High, coming up after the break. We'll be talking with some Madera softball. Judy Schaubach and Brianna Hamilton in the house on 1430 ESPN. Bottom of hour number two. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Paul Matters. It's been a great show highlighting all the great stuff that's happened, especially in the last week. Talking with Sydney Vanek, Clovis High, long jumper, back-to-back state champion. You know, it's just there's so many great stories around the Central Valley. So many individual performances, team performances. We love to highlight them here on 1430 ESPN. We got a great story here. Madera softball coach Judy Schaubach is in the house. You know, you're 2016 Cal High Softball Coach of the Year. How cool was that, Coach, when you saw that?
That was a pretty phenomenal year. And what a nice way to end it. Cal High Sports Coach of the Year. I mean, all I got to say is I've got great kids.
And I think what I remember reading about that, Coach, is – you were the first coach from the Central Valley to win that award since, I think, 81. I think you look at that list, there are all these SoCal, NorCal people, and then you won it, and then Mike Noel won a few years later.
Yeah, what an honor it was to represent the Central Valley and softball in Central Valley. Softball's just getting better and better in our Central Valley, and to be recognized like that, it was very special.
Well, you definitely deserve it. Your team just won your fourth straight, or not straight, your fourth Central Section title, defeating Frontier 4-2. And we have one of your players with us, Brianna Hamilton, New Mexico State signee as well. So we're going to be definitely talking about that in a little bit. Thanks for coming on. And I know we got to get you in and out because you got a softball game at 3 o'clock in San Jose.
I do.
Right? Who are you playing with in that game, and where exactly are you playing?
I'm playing in San Jose with Batbuster Gomes. And we're playing against Wolfpack.
All right. So we'll definitely get you on time for that game. We're going to pray for no traffic. Well, Coach, it's been a week. It's been a full week since you guys won that your Central Section champ. Actually, has it been a week? You played your game on Thursday or Friday?
Friday.
It was Friday.
Friday night.
Okay, Friday night. So it's been more than a full week. You've had, you know, that much time to reflect. What stands out to you about this team and the great run that you guys had?
Oh, man. This has been a very special group. Our senior group has been phenomenal this year. It started out way back in the fall when they sat down and they started setting goals for themselves. And it was one of those goals that you knew this team was going to get in the weight room, and I watched them get in the weight room, and they just worked their fannies off in that weight room to get stronger and faster and better. And they just picked each other up all year long. And throughout the year, we had some high moments and we had some moments of adversity, and they just had each other's back. They're a gritty little team, and if one wasn't performing one day, the next one, they just picked each other up. And that's what I have to say about this group, is they always found a way to stay in the ball game.
And you talk about the ups and downs, and you played in a, you know, league that included Bullard, who made it all the way to the section championship in D1. How do you think, Coach, you know, playing, you know, through adversity, and, you know, I think you split with Bullard, right?
We got them the first time, and they got us the second time. And
so how did those games, you know, refine this team that led up to that
section title? Well, anytime you play Bullard, it's like a championship. Jamie Maxey is a phenomenal coach, and she's got her team always ready to compete and ready to perform. So you know you're going into the game, you better have your softball game ready and your cleats tied on tight for that game.
Brianna, I want to ask you about the final out in that championship against Frontier. What was the final out? I didn't see the highlight of it. What was the final out in that game?
The final out was it was hit to Kim at second base.
It was a ground out?
It was a ground out.
Through to first. All right, so what was going through your mind, you know, when you saw that play, you saw the umpire ringing out and everyone started to celebrate? What was going through your mind?
I was having mixed emotions. I was happy. I was sad. It was my last game with him. I just remember saying Kim, like, multiple times in my head because I knew the ball was going to her. And I was like, Kim, like, yes. Like, I was ready.
Throw that ball, Kim.
Yes.
All right. Get rid of that thing. Coach, I want to ask you about that game. I wasn't able to go. I saw the highlights. I believe it was Scott Bemis, newscaster here, sportscaster here in the Valley, that had I couldn't believe the highlights. I kept seeing a diving play here, a running catch here. You know, just walk us through that game. I know it was 1-1. You guys got a couple runs in the fourth inning to take the lead. But what's the best way to describe that game? Walk us through that.
Just a roller coaster. Both teams came out ready to play. I mean, our kids – there was just a no die. We're going to get every ball that's hit at us. We're going to make plays. And their little shortstop was phenomenal. She made some diving plays, and we've got a fast, fast team. We create chaos on the bases, and they were making plays, and Malia in left field making a diving catch to you know, just left and right, great plays. And so it was back and forth, and I had really had mixed emotions going in the game because my team went over to St. Joe's in Santa Maria, and they put together a phenomenal game. And, you know, as a coach, in the back of your mind, that was a great game, that was a great game. Now we got to get that energy back, and we got to get that focus back. And the girls came out. They came out ready to play, and I just told them, go enjoy the moment. You know, you're going in at Fresno State. That's a big stadium. It's going to be a big crowd. A sea of blue showed up, and just to see the kids look around and seize the moment was so much fun from the dugout.
Is there a huge difference between, say, playing in your home ballpark to playing at Fresno State? Did you go through, like, hey, guys, the dimensions are same as far as the base paths, you know, fence is a little bit different, there's a lot of people here. Did you go in over any of that, or did the girls just adjust?
We talked about it, but we have a phenomenal stadium. Madera Unified has built a stadium for us like no other. You got to get a chance to get up there and see it. But it kind of felt like we were at our home stadium because the fans are all up. There's not a bad seat in our stadium. They built a phenomenal facility. So it kind of felt like home to us. So I think our girls were very comfortable at Fresno State.
I want to go back a little bit, Coach, to the game. You described it, and diving plays all over the field and just, you know, super, super intense. When you're in a game like that, and I know you've watched a lot of high-intense softball games over your career, you've played in some as well, was there any moment during that game where you're just watching it as a fan? You're like, oh, my gosh, this is incredible softball. Oh, wait, I gotta strategize against this. Or did you get caught up?
No, actually, this year has been unique for me because usually I'm at third base, and I'm directing the orchestra, you might be saying. But I hurt my shoulder in the midseason. And I've got a phenomenal young lady that works with me, Melissa Armento Van Loon. And the decision was made that I can't wave runners in. I'm going to probably have to have this arm addressed. So I had to take a different role this year, and it was in the dugout role. And being able to talk to these young ladies in the dugout and see the workings of the dugout, it was a little different role. So it was exciting because you could watch them pick each other up and then somebody get down and then somebody go over and pick them up. I know in the championship game, this one was a little down in the middle of the bench just for a second. And then Natty, our pitcher, our senior pitcher, comes over and they sit and they talk and bam, she's right back in the game. So that was what was exciting for me, is to watch the sisterhood of this team just continue to work together to be in the game.
Talking with Madera softball coach Judy Schaubach and Brianna Hamilton, one of her star players, senior. Brianna, I want to ask you, playing on that diamond, you mentioned how it, wasn't that far removed from playing on your home field. But what was it like to play in such an intense softball game? Were you relishing in the moment? Were you just hyper-focused? Were you a little bit nervous or a little bit of everything?
I think for me, I was more anxious, a lot of nervous. As soon as we got in on our first inning, I just felt everything just crush on me. I felt a lot of pressure, which I really shouldn't have, but I felt a lot of pressure on me. But it started easing out through the game. Us making these plays, amazing plays. Our team still staying, fighting. So, yeah.
How did you celebrate after the game? You talked about how you celebrated on the field, but what'd you guys do after the game?
After the game, we all went our separate ways. We came back the next Monday. We all had things to do. Our coaches were leaving to go visit their grandbabies and stuff. We all had tournaments to get to. So
that's awesome, Coach. I want to ask you about Brianna here. Just, she's a senior, 4-year varsity player, going on playing at the next level. What has Brianna meant to the Madera softball program?
Man, I have so enjoyed my time with Brianna. When she came in as a freshman, she had some challenges, and she met them head on, and she became a student athlete. I'm so proud of what she's done in the classroom and put herself in a position to be recruitable and found a home, New Mexico State, she's going on. And she has been our leader in the weight room. She has set the example in the weight room of work ethic and just pushes her team. She has a quiet way about herself, and she listens to her teammates. When they come to her and talk to her, she really listens to them, and she gives them her intention. And she's just been a pleasure to coach. She's frustrating at times. She's her own worst enemy at times. She's hard on herself, and that, I think that for me as a coach, has been just to encourage her to give yourself a break and keep going forward, one foot in front of the other in softball, because it's a game of failure, and you can't get too caught up in it. You just have to keep going, next pitch, next pitch, next pitch.
A perfect example of that is what you said, Coach. She was a little down, and you're able to watch that on the bench, a little bit down. Her teammates picked her up. Brianna, I want to ask you about your teammates. What do your teammates mean to you? How much you're going to miss your teammates? And, I know you got a bright future ahead of you, but, what do your teammates mean to you?
My teammates mean so much to me. The bonds that I have built with this team these past 3 years, and my new freshmen that are coming, they mean so much to me. Very much going to miss them. Those are my sisters. That's my family. I will definitely come back to watch them, though. I won't be gone that long.
That's great. That's great. Well, you guys designing a ring. You guys are going to get one of those big old fat rings that everybody gets.
Yeah, they're so excited. That's been the talk in the classroom, is coach, when we get to start designing. So
what is the personality of this team, Coach? Teams take on the personality of their coach a lot. Was this a fun team? Was this a team that you had to kick in the pants every once in a while? Describe the personality of this team.
I think a little bit eclectic for me. They were always horsing around, and somebody was always doing something or playing a practical joke, and then they're just a happy-go-lucky team. In the weight room, every once in a while I have to get on them, hey, you're having a lot of fun, we're having a lot of fun, but you got to get your reps in. And that's where the senior group came in. They just got in and worked and kept working and working and working, and I really appreciate that. But they're just gritty. In a game, you get in a tough situation, and one kid would make a great play, and then they just rallied around that, and they're just the enthusiasm, it was just contagious, And if one got on a roll, then she would get another one involved, and it just got contagious for us. So
who are some other players that stood out this year? Give a shout out. Obviously, it's a team game, and you know Brianna's here representing the players. But who are some other players?
Well, Nastasha Griffin, our senior pitcher. You know what a performance this year. I don't think many people out there in the softball world realize that she had a pretty good back injury, and she struggled through midseason and a lot of our league play. She was hurting, and she gutted out some performances, got some innings in that we really needed, and then we had to make a decision as a coaching staff to protect her back a little bit and give her some time off the mound. And, you know, league didn't go completely the way we wanted to, but it was a good springboard that we knew that she was getting healthy and that we were going to make a run in the playoffs. And I can't say enough about her. She is a superb student athlete going to Santa Barbara, not going to play ball, but just so proud of her. And, you know, her catcher, Jock Mendez, Jock has called every single game this year. I pride myself into teaching my catchers to call games. It's their game. It's their stage. I think sometimes as coaches, we want to control everything. And yet that young lady did her homework. You know, game changer is a changing thing. She did her studies and she looked into our opponents and had good game plans. And there wasn't much. I just made a few corrections here. And so she was an impact player for us. And who else?
You got a freshman. You got a pretty star freshman.
Oh,
talk about this
gosh.
Freshman that I'm hearing about.
That whole class is, they're going to be phenomenal. Malia Ricks, she was just phenomenal in the championship game against Frontier. She was all over the place, defensive, offensive, running the bases. She's probably one of the best base runners, the instinctual base runners. And I've had a lot of great base runners. But she can play outfield. We've even tried her on the infield a little bit. She's multi-faceted player. She's going to have a bright future. Brylin Santiago, she played shortstop, third base when we were trying to figure out what we were doing in the infield this year. With when we lost Kylia Ricks, Malia's older sister, to ACL injury, we were down a little bit. But, man, these youngsters came in and filled the holes. And she's just flat out. I'm not sure there's a catcher in the Valley that can throw her out. But she's going to be phenomenal. The leadoff batter hit over 500 in league and just phenomenal. And then we got Kimberly Zarazua, another little freshman, played second base for us. Like I said, when Natty's back hurt, she got hurt midseason with her wrist, so she was out of the lineup for a few games, and we had to mix it up. But she got herself back in and contributed to the championship run, and another lefty quick kid. And then Destiny Avila, boy, I can't say enough about this young lady. She's going to be a big threat. Her bat just gets better and better. She started off being a reserve player at the beginning of the year, worked her way into the DP role, and then at the end of the year, she's starting at first base. So she's a phenomenal. We hope that her bat comes along and can help us replace this big bat that we're going to miss over here on my left.
Well, Brianna, you chose New Mexico State as the next stop in your softball career and your career in life. What made you decide to go there, and what are you looking forward to most?
When I went out there to New Mexico State, my head coach, Kathy Rodolph, she made it feel like home over there. She really cares for her players. She's, if anything's wrong, she knows that we can go to her and talk to her. Most thing I'm looking forward to up there is going out there to play ball.
And you're going to be playing ball in a couple hours here.
We're going to
send you off to San Jose in just a minute. We got a game there. Coach, I want to ask you a couple more questions here. So you played, you're a Madera grad, 1980, played softball at Fresno State. How much do your players know about your playing career? They know that you used to ball out or not?
Oh, huh? They know
got some
a little
stories?
Bit.
All right,
they
all
know
right.
A little bit. It was kind of fun walking them up behind the by the snack bar, because I would say, yeah, I don't think you girls, you know, as we get a little older, we get a little slower. We try to, you know, run with them, and they blow past us now. But at one time, we were pretty fast. So I kept telling them, you know, I had a great career at Fresno State. I think it played at the perfect time as a Bulldog. And 81 through 84, it was a beginning of Fresno State's run, and was on that neat 82 team that went to the first College Women's World Series. And It was fun, but I took them up back and showed them, hey, there is my name. Really, I did play here. So it was fun sharing some experiences. And anyway, that's what I remember the most is as a player, getting to talk to them about those big games and sharing what I found as a player versus a coach.
And you were an all-conference player. Was it 1984? You were all-conference?
Yeah, at first base. I played outfield all the way up to my senior year, and then first base my senior year, and that's where I ended up being all-conference.
That's awesome. Where was the – obviously it wasn't Marjorie Wright Diamond, but where did you guys play? Where was the Diamond located?
I don't know if you remember where the tennis courts are. In between the CU where the kids eat the dorm kids eat their – meals, and then between the tennis courts we had that small field there. And when I got to Fresno State, it was just a backstop. We didn't even have dugouts. I mean, I came from Madera High, and I'm thinking we got more than they had. But while I was there, we ended up Biden Field. They got the field got built, and we got their press box, and our parents poured the cement, and we poured the cement and straightened it out, and they put the press box there, and then we got dugouts, and then the next year we got batting tunnel and bathrooms down the line where we didn't have to run all the way back up to the gym. So I was there during that transformational period when Donna Pickle really, really put Fresno State on the map.
Talking with Madera softball coach Judy Schaubach. We got about another minute here, Coach. You've had a wonderful career. You were the 2016 Cal High Sports Softball Coach of the Year for the entire state. You have 4 Central Section titles in softball. You are a mainstay. You are well respected through not only Central Section but with the state and the nation. You know, how are you able to quantify, you know, when a team is able to come together and make a run like this team was able to do? I mean, how satisfying is it for you as a coach? I know you're all about the players, but, you know, how much does it mean to you and your program, the city of Madera?
Oh, man, it means everything. It's just been, over the years, I have fantastic families in Madera. It's a great community. We're still that little small town. In my heart, I just feel like, even though we have 3 full-blown high schools now, I still feel like we're still family in Madera, and that's how I look at my girls. When they come in, I want them to be like my daughters. And I want to be great student athletes and great representatives in the community. And they have, over the years, they've just far surpassed all that. And so it's really, it warms my heart to watch these kids go off and fulfill their dreams. And then a lot of them came back this week. A lot of our players came back from college. And Leilani from Howard came back and talked to the team, and Val from Texas, and we had Erica Perez come back in and share their experiences in the college. And I think that just gives them that little extra push. What do you think, Brianna? That give you a little extra incentive this week?
Well, it means a lot to be a Coyote. Coach, I appreciate you coming on here in short notice. We were texting late last night. We were able to work it out. I know Brianna's got to get to her softball game in San Jose, but thank you very much. It's been an incredible story. Really appreciated talking to you and getting to know you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Coming up after the break, we're going to be wrapping things up here on 1430 ESPN.